2 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 10 through 12. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw her son was dead, she proceeded to destroy the whole royal family of the house of Judah. But Jehosheba, I didn't name these people, the daughter of King Jehoram, took Joash, son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the royal princes who were about to be murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. Because Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of the priest Jeholiab, they really need to go with Joe and Sam here, was Ahaziah's sister. She hid the child from Athaliah, so she could not kill him. He remained hidden from them in the temple of God for 6 years while Athaliah ruled the land. I read that, and you're probably thinking, okay, how are you going to get to a happy Mother's Day story from that? Well, we're going to get to a Mother's Day story. I don't know that it's going to be extremely happy, but we're going to get there, and there is a happy ending. So hang tight. There really is a happy ending. It's also quite possible you're sitting thinking, I've never heard that story from before. Did you really take that right from the Bible? You can look it up. You can check it yourself. 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 10 through 12. In fact, some of you are probably thinking as I read that, that sounds like more of some kind of crazy plot for a Disney movie than what we would think from a Bible. I mean, and on that one, I sort of agree. Let's face it, Disney has come up with some of the greatest villains that we'll ever think about. In fact, oddly enough, many of the Disney classics we adore are known more for their villains than their heroes. Cruella de Vil, Cruella. We know these villains very, very well. Most of them even have their own song. Of course, Disney's all about money, and so they decided to release a board game called Villainous. And well, there you get to play and be your favorite Disney villain. So you have to get the picture. I'm putting together the 2021 sermon series outline, calendar, what have you. And I'm sitting there, and I'm not kidding you, my sons are sitting at the table and they're playing this game, and I'm thinking, villain series, how am I going to tie this in and kind of make this more of a fun? Because I mean, this can be very dark and gruesome. And there's my answer sitting right there. They're playing this board game, and they're playing these villains. And I began to think, there's a great tie-in. Because we're going to spend the next 7 weeks, and we're going to look at some of the worst seven people that you can find in Scripture. These people, they're awful. They're terrible. They're villains. And you know what? They have a great story that we can learn about when it comes to being still in knowing God. Now, this lady, she's saying mothers know best at the beginning. But here's the ironic thing. Guess what? Her name is Mother Gothel, but she's not a mom. She's a thief. If you know the story of Rapunzel, you know exactly how it goes. Rapunzel was born, and she had magic powers, and her hair grew very, very long. And in the Disney version, her hair had the power to heal and create youth forever. And this lady wanted it for herself, and so she stole Rapunzel away and stuck her in a tower, and there she was forever and ever and ever, unless you're Disney. And Disney got her out the tower and made a great story of it. But we're not here to necessarily talk about Mother Gothel. We are here to talk about this lady, her story. Her name is Athaliah, and she has a nickname when it comes to Israel. It's a cool nickname. You know what it's called? The Mother of All Evil. So when I saw Mother All Evil and I saw Mother Gothel, you know what I automatically thought, right? Here's Mother's Day. So today we are going to look at Athaliah, the literal mother of all evil when it comes to Israel. They credited all to her. And well, who is she? She is the daughter of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel of Israel. So remember, tribe of Israel, they had a nation. Solomon died, civil war, tribes went this way, they formed the land of Judah. Tribes went this way, they formed the nation of Israel. And then the nation of Israel was the first one to fall. They got into a lot of pagan worship and all kinds of things they shouldn't do. And well, Athaliah is from that territory. And she is the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And we'll chat about them in just a minute here. Let's just kind of catch you up on who else she is. Athaliah married the king of Judah. His name was Jehoram. So she's from the Israel tribe, and somebody had the bright idea, and we'll cover this in just a minute, that you know what? To get these two tribes back, to get these two nations back into one, we got the solution. We'll just marry our princess to your prince, and then eventually there'll all be one big happy family, and the kingdoms will reunite, and all will go well with the world. And so that's who her husband is. But she influenced Judah. So she moved into to the Judah nation, and she influenced Judah into some of the same pagan worships of Israel. So all the Baal worship and the things that were going on in Israel, she brought all of that down to Judah with her. And so that's kind of where this all begins. And in the middle of all of that, her husband dies. So now her son, Ahaziah, becomes king. And so he is king, but guess what? Not for very long. We find out in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 9, he being the person after Ahaziah, he then went in search of Ahaziah, and his men captured him while he was hiding in Samaria. He was brought to Jehu and put to death. They buried him, for they said he was the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So there was no one in the house of Ahaziah powerful enough to retain the kingdom. So Ahaziah had a really godly dad and, an extremely ungodly mom. So we had this mixing, and upon his death, there was this big void in Judah as far as who was going to be the king, and guess who steps in? Yes, indeedy. Athaliah. Now, here's the problem. Athaliah can't be a king. She's missing one of the pure traits that you have to be a king. She's not a male. So she can be a queen, but not a king. And back in those days, back in the biblical times, you couldn't have a queen without a king. It just wasn't allowed. And so she had to step into the void, and she wanted to be queen, but she didn't want anybody serving beside her. She just wanted ultimate power. So she has a really brilliant plan. Here's her brilliant plan. She decides, I'm going to kill all the royal descendants. Now, before you say, no big deal. Happens all the time. Governmental coups. Remember who she's about to kill. This lady is about to kill all of her sons, all of her grandsons, all of the male cousins, all of the male stepchildren, all of the male descendants that could produce sons, and all of the daughters that had of her dead husband that had the potential of producing a male son. She had to get rid of them all, because if there were any males, then guess what? She couldn't be in control. So she makes a decision. I am going to get rid of them all. Kill them all. Man, makes you wonder about going to eat a cookie at grandma's house, don't it? Come here, sonny. Yeah, you don't know what's probably in that cookie, because this lady, she went off the deep end everywhere. And you know what? She succeeded. She succeeded in offing off the entire royal family. You're thinking, man, that's awful. You see where she got her nickname, right? The mother of all evil? Now, you're probably thinking, well, man, she forgot the son. She forgot Jeroboam's brothers. Don't worry, we'll talk about them in a minute, because she got them earlier. Okay? Let's talk about here some practical lessons that we can learn from this woman's story. Some things that are important for us, not only as just mothers, I label them Mother's Day lessons, but they are important lessons that are important to parents, because we have a responsibility to our children to teach them and raise them in a way that they will be honoring to God. So these are three very simple lessons that we can learn from the story of Athaliah. And by the way, if you're like, well, I don't have kids. Do you have kids in your life? I know you have kids in your life. You know how I know that? Because we just sent them downstairs. So this is also a lesson for the church when it comes to how we are supposed to minister to children. So this is a lesson that goes broad spectrum, whether you were a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, a niece, whatever it is, if there's a child in your life, these are some things that we need to learn. And here's the very first lesson that we need to learn. Lesson number one, an ungodly home lays a distorted foundation. So I told you about her parents, and I threw the names out there, and those are probably a little more familiar to you than Athalia is. But let me tell you about her parents. Her dad, Athalia's dad, well, his name was Ahab, and this is what it says in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. Ahab was an evil, wicked king. And this was Athalia's dad. Ahab was the one that brought Baal worship and made it wide spectrum in the Israel nation. He was the one that said, hey, this is the way it's supposed to work. And he is the one that turned the nation of Israel away from God. Ahab was a ruthless king. But you know what? Mom for Athalia also wasn't a very good testimony. This is what we know about Jezebel. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 4. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, seriously, Athalia had a murderous mom. So when she came up with the theme of, I think I'll just off all the descendants, you know what she was saying? Mother knows best. That's exactly how Mom handled her problems. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. You know, a lot of times we underestimate the influence of a solid foundational home, a home that teaches things like prayer, a home that encourages their kids to come to church with them, sometimes forces their kids to come to church with them. It isn't always easy to get your kids to do the things that you want them to do. We underestimate those foundations, but you do understand that foundation is just that. It is the foundation that the rest of their life is going to be built upon. Their home life teaches so much about them and what is important and how they're supposed to value things. So one of those lessons that we need to learn is, guess what? We have a responsibility as parents. I'm not one yet, but someday maybe. That scares me, but we have a responsibility as grandparents. We have a responsibility as a church. We have a responsibility as any person around to help children lay that foundation that they can build the rest of their life on. Because let me tell you something. If you don't lay it, somebody else is going to do your job for you. Somebody is going to lay the foundation. And here's the funny thing. Mother knows best. Athalia did exactly that which was taught to her. You need to see that. She didn't set off in a corner and come up with this idea all by herself. She looked across her past. She looked across mom and dad. She looked across all of her life. And she said, this is the way I'm supposed to do it. How do I know? It's what mom and dad did. We can't dismiss the idea. We have an obligation to our kids to teach them, to train them. And then as they get older and adults, to remind them, guess what? This is the foundation you were given. Build your life on it. Because it's the only stable foundation you're ever going to find. This is what Proverbs tells us. Wise old Solomon. Proverbs tells us, start off a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. You give a child a foundation, and you've given them something mighty. You've given them something that they can take for the rest of their life. And build, and build, and build. But that foundation is not enough. There's some other things that we can learn from the story of Athalia. Lesson number two, ungodly influences lead to a dark path. So I told you about her husband. Her husband's name was Jehoram, and he had a dad. And, well, that dad's name was Jehoshaphat. That's a kind of fun name to say, Jehoshaphat. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 50 said, then Jehoshaphat rested with his ancestors and was buried with them in the city of David with his father. And Jehoram, his son, succeeded him as king. Now, Jehoshaphat, he was a godly man. As a matter of fact, in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 5, when he's trying to negotiate with the Israel nation and Judah trying to get things together, but Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, first we seek the counsel of the Lord. So, by and large, he wasn't perfect. He had his issues. He did things that weren't right. But Jehoshaphat went about the idea of trying to raise Jehoram to be a man that followed Jehovah. But you know what? Something happened. You see, they decided to make a steep price for peace. So Jehoshaphat wanted to have peace with the nation of Israel, and he wanted to find a way to get the nation back together. And so in order to, to make peace with the northern kingdom, Israel, Jehoram, was given a failure to marry. So they're put together. And well, I want you to see what happens. Once they're together, here comes the ungodly influence. He being Jehoram, followed the ways of the king of Israel, as the house of Ahab had done. For he married the daughter of Ahab. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Wow. So here we have a gentleman that was raised in a godly home. He was given a godly foundation. He was taught godly principles. And his life becomes entangled with somebody that has low morals, low standards, in their relationship with God. It's one of those things we used to do when I was a youth minister, and I thought about it, doing it as an object lesson today, but I looked across. I'm like, I don't want to have to take anybody for back surgery, so I just figured I would talk to you about it. We used to take a chair and we'd sit it in the room and we'd find the biggest strapping football player that we could find and have him stand on the chair. And then we would find the smallest young lady that we could find and have her stand on the ground. And then we would put them in a tug of war. He would try to pull her up and she would try to pull him down. And it didn't matter how big of a male I put on the chair. You know what always happened? He ended up on the floor. Because you know what? You cannot take your godly principles and pull somebody else up to your level. But it's very easy for them to take an immoral lifestyle and take that foundation that was laid and pull you down to them. Parents, this is why we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteous and wickedness have in common? Or what do fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Bela? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? You get it, right? And this is hard. Especially in our culture, because the heart wants what the heart wants, right? We see people and we think they're attractive, but we don't ever stop to ask those questions. Is this person going to lead me toward God or away from God? Is the relationship I am entangling my life with, by the way, the name of the movie that this clip came from was called Tangled. Is the relationship I am entangling myself with, is it going to encourage me toward God or away from God? And parents, sometimes it's our responsibility to hold up the warning sign and say, hey, look, danger. Where you're headed, you're getting into a relationship with somebody. You're allowing your heart to get attached to somebody that is not going to encourage you into a godly relationship. You know what? That's a hard thing to do when you're a parent, because you want your kids to be happy, but you also want them to be able to have a relationship with God. And so this is a lesson that we must learn if we are going to be the parents that God would have us to be. So here's the third lesson that we can learn. Ungodly ambition brings about certain destruction. 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 20. All the people of the land rejoiced in the city was calm because Athaliah had been slain with the sword at the palace. So at the end, Athaliah gets killed. And the funny thing is, this little child that had been taken and put into captivity and put there, he comes back and now he's going to be the king. And he's going to be the king because the first thing that Jehoram did when he was brought in to be king, Athaliah convinced him to kill his six brothers. So his brothers are gone. She took care of the rest of the family. And this little one that got away, he comes back, and he's going to be king. See, in the movie Tangled, in the retelling of Rapunzel, the unforeseen twist was eventually Rapunzel comes home. The unforeseen twist was eventually her hair gets cut off, which takes away her power, and, well, Mother Gothel just disintegrates into dust. Rapunzel gets to marry her love, and, well, she gets her happily ever after. And this is what we read for Jehosheba, who did the thing that God asked her to do. Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, took Joash, son of Azariah, and stole him away from amongst the royal princes who were about to be murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So one person took one child and took that one child and tucked them away and put them out there, and from there we're going to get a happy ending to our Mother's Day story. You do understand something, that all of this has a great thing to do with your faith. See, in Scripture, God had promised King David a kingdom that would last forever, one that would never end. And so if Athalia had successfully done exactly what she thought, then the line of David would have ended. It had stopped. If she had managed to kill them all off, then there would be no line of David, because David's kingdom would have ended then and there. There would be no line for Christ. Jesus would have no claim to a throne. Jesus could not have been the Messiah, because it was said that he would come from the line of David. No line of David, no Jesus. Joash would have a son eventually named Amaziah. And then Amaziah would have a son named Uzziah. And I want to pick up our happily ever after in Matthew chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah, and his brother at the time of exile in Babylon. And as you continue taking all of that lineage and you get there, you know where you wind up. It's kind of cool. You wind up at a manger in Bethlehem with this guy named Joseph and this girl named Mary, and they're having a baby that the angel told them would be called Emmanuel. Out of all of this mess, God found a path for the Messiah. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that cool? God's plan was not interrupted by humanity's unwillingness to go with the plan. See, here's the thing. Mother knows best. Ladies, if you're here, if you didn't hear it before, let me make sure I say it loud and clear. Thank you. I have a mom. When we say amen here today, we're getting in the car and we're heading down to Lynchburg to see mom. And yes, by the way, I'd like to also thank you for the people that warned us about the rock slides so we can go around it. But we're going down to see my mom. Moms are important. But you do understand, mother knows best, but God knows everything. God's plan had put in a place for Athalia to do exactly what she had planned to do. And when Athalia did exactly what she had planned to do, then God already had the next piece on the chessboard to move and say, you're going to get them all, but you're going to miss one. And that one that you miss, he's going to come back. He's going to be a king. And he's going to have a son. And then that one's going to have a son. And that one's going to have a son. And eventually, we're going to have Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Sometimes I look around our lives and I see so much chaos in our families. And I think, God, how on earth can anything ever come from that kind of chaos that sometimes we have in our families today? God's like, you ain't got nothing on me. Because I know all about chaotic families. I know all about people that decide to go their own way. And just so you know, I got a plan through that too. I find such encouragement from this lady's story Not because she was a great lady, but because we serve a great God. So my question to you today is he your God? Is he the God that knows best for your life? Are you willing to take the lessons that he's learning and put them into your life? And then more importantly, pass them on to the next generation to help them understand this is why we do the things that we do. Because God knows everything. Because God loves us so.